As we look at child training in Proverbs, I want to start in chapter 1, the first 9 verses as an introduction, and then we'll pray and be back and forth in the book. Might be able to get it all done this morning. If not, we will pick up the rest next Sunday, but I think we can get her done. And hopefully this will just whet your appetite to read through Proverbs. You know, you can one proverb a day and get through it in a month. And as we've been studying it as men, I've been reading through it each month and reading a commentary that goes along with it, trying to just really absorb all the great truth that is here. Proverbs is considered the book of practicality. All the Bible is practical. It has theology that's to change our lives. In other words, it's not just facts to know about God, but if I know God is everywhere present, it affects how I live. If I know God's all powerful, it affects my trust in Him. And but this book especially is what we call the gospel kind of in shoes, how a Christian is to live life skillfully. That's what wisdom is about. So Proverbs chapter 1, starting with verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we take this time in your word, that you would help us to see how you would desire for us to function as families. As we study Scripture, we understand it's the very first institution you established way back in Genesis chapter 2. Before government, before the nation of Israel, before the church of the New Testament, the family is the unit that all is built on. Lord, we know that our families are under a lot of attack in our country, and a lot of philosophies are being flung out there with different ideas that are man-centered instead of God-centered. Help us to get God-centered this day and to be able to carry this with us as parents, as we train our children, as children in the home, as we obey and respect our parents, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Notice in the first verses we read there, verse 3, to receive instruction. We're going to look at the idea of discipline. And discipline is more than just, you know, okay, you were a bad child, go to your room, or I'm taking away your this or that. You know, you can't ride your bike for a week. You can't see this friend. No video games or TV or whatever. Or a paddling, whatever the age of the child and the appropriate discipline. A lot is teaching. And often the time of discipline is a great time of teaching. You've got their attention. The Bible idea here is if the child is going to be wise, they need to receive. If the parents are going to instill wisdom, they need to teach. And of course, we know teaching is more than just this is what you do. It needs to be by example, too. If as a parent you find yourself maybe not saying but thinking, do as I say, not as I do, you're already losing the battle. And then down in verse number 4, it talks about discretion, giving discretion to the youth. And we're going to see the aim is you're preparing them, and as they get older, more and more giving responsibility under training, but teaching them how to live skillfully when they're on their own. Because they are going to go on their own. And one of the important things to understand as parents, too, is you know what? Your relationship as parents is going to go beyond the children. They're going to leave, and you're still going to be there. And this is important to understand because oftentimes parents so focus on the children that the children go and they look and realize they don't have much of a relationship. And actually establishing a good husband-wife relationship is comforting to those children when they know that they have parents that love the Lord and love one another. That gives the home a lot of stability to begin with. So teaching discretion, how to make good and wise decisions when they're on their own. But verse 7 reminds us, and this keeps coming back in chapter 9 and verse 10 again too, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What Solomon's reminding us is, if you're not a believer, if your child's not a believer, all you're doing is putting on some restraint for a time. But the battle can very easily be lost. The fear of the Lord is the Old Testament way of saying one who's rightly related to God. We know once we come to the New Testament, it's through faith in Christ alone, as we turn from our sin and put our trust in Him. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Without God and a right relationship with Him, it doesn't mean a home can't be stable. It just means the best home is going to be based on the parents' relationship with the Lord and the children coming to know Christ as their Savior. And then they're more likely to accept this instruction. I look at my own life, and I was raised in a Christian home, taken to church, but it was at age 11 I really came to understand and apply the gospel, and I found it was soon after that that I wasn't getting spanked so much. Now, there comes an age, and we'll look at that some, where, you know, spanking probably is not very effective. You know, the kid's just going to laugh and say, okay, got that over with quick, now I'll go back to what I was doing. But my dad was very effective with the razor strap. It wasn't abuse, but it hurt. It got my attention. And the worst words in my household were, go get the razor strap. You also had to go get your instrument of punishment. That was part of the punishment. And my brothers actually hit it once. I think they did. I don't remember doing it. And my dad found it hid under the cushions of the couch, and he wanted to know who hit it. And nobody would confess, because that would have been major razor strap, right? And those of you that don't know what a razor strap is, it's back in the old barber shops. When you go in, the guy would be going, whoosh, 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 just a piece of leather about 3-4 inches wide and maybe a couple feet long. And that thing stung. Whole. But it worked. And it was interesting, when I came to trust the Lord, all of a sudden my attitude toward my parents was changing, and I was more listening to instruction and less having to be physically punished. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you don't start there, then you're fighting a battle. And then verse 8, hear, my son. Listen. Be willing to hear and be instructed. So first of all, what are we going to look at? Turn over to chapter 19 of Proverbs in verse 18. And this is the encouragement to the parents to discipline the children. Chapter 19 and verse 18. Solomon writes and says, discipline your son, and of course this would be daughters too, generic. Discipline your son, for there is hope. Do not set your heart on putting him to death. Now, this is not saying, you're going to abuse him. What it's talking about is, first of all, parents, you need to be consistent, and you need to keep at it. Part of the problem we find in discipline is that parents will often one day, okay, they're zoned in, and we're going to make these kids obey, and then there's days where the parents are distracted or they're busy or whatever, and they're inconsistent. They don't really discipline as they did the day before or whatnot. And so the kids are looking around like, okay, is mom happy today or is mom not happy? Do I have to keep my head down? And that shouldn't be the way it goes in the home. It says, discipline your son, what, for there's hope. Keep after it. And here's the thing. As we go through this, some of you will sit here and say, whoa, here's some stuff I hadn't been doing or not doing consistently. Or here's some things I've been doing I shouldn't be doing. And the idea is when you start changing and start doing what the Bible says, you're going to get pushback. It's going to happen. Okay? Because it's different. They're used to how you used to be doing it. And when you start doing what the Bible says, they're going to probably try to fight you on it for a while. But the Bible's saying keep after it. Keep going forward and doing what the Bible says and praying for them and praying God will help you to be consistent in this. Because there's hope. Even for those ones that are teens, and maybe you'll look back and say, wow, I waited too long. And let's just put it this way. When do you start disciplining? As soon as they start showing their will to fight against you. Our son was just cruising furniture. Wasn't even talking much. 11 months old. And my wife looks at him and says, don't touch that, Spencer. And you know, the easy thing would be to just pick it up and move it out of reach, right? And as parents, a lot of times we do, and if it's something really valuable, yeah, you probably better. But it wasn't that valuable, but it was a lesson learning time. And he'd go, and he'd look at her, and he'd do this. You know, just kind of, and she watching, you know, okay. And Spencer, don't touch that. As soon as he touched it, or a paddle on the behind. And with a diaper on, you know, it doesn't hurt him much, but it sends the message right away, this is wrong, and there will be discipline for it. And so it's very important. We're consistent. We stick with it, even when you're getting pushback. And the end of the verse is really saying to quit or to give up is setting your heart on putting him to death. In other words, if you just let the child go the way they want and say, well, it's too late or whatever, you're basically turning them over to a life of misery. Because the home is where children are to first learn to submit to authority. And if they don't learn it in the home, they're going to have trouble all their life. Well, the policeman said this, but I don't care. This person said that, you know, my teacher. And then they get to college and the same attitude. And so the Bible's saying they're disciplined. The word discipline means to chasten. That means some physical punishment at times. To correct. That can be instruction. And to reprove. So much of it is verbal. The younger the child, the more likely corporal punishment, spanking, will be effective. As they get older, that's not going to work so much. That's when you start saying, okay, what do they really like? What privileges do I take away? You got to hit them where it hurts is the idea, okay? You got to, because if it doesn't hurt, they're not learning anything, right? Okay, I'm not going to let you clean up your room for a week. Oh, no! Please don't do that to me, right? What was the point of that? Right? That's where a lot of the fights are. Cleaning up the room, taking out the trash, whatever the jobs you might give them. So now turn over to chapter 23. We're going to look at this idea of corporal punishment. That is physical punishment. And I want to say right off from the start, this is not abuse. It's on the behind, not with a belt buckle, not with something that's going to bruise or cut or hurt. We used a wooden spoon. Worked great for our kids when they were younger. Stung. They would actually beg not to have the wooden spoon. Now you take a teenager and do that, and they're, right? Yeah, sure, let me have it. Now I can go back and do what I want. But there's a philosophy out there, worldly, that says if you use any kind of physical discipline on your children, they're going to turn out to be abusers themselves, or they're going to be mad all their lives. No. That's hogwash. That's foolishness. Now, if you're abusive, and Ephesians and Colossians warns us, and we'll see this later, we're not to provoke our children to anger. And abuse is one of the ways you do that. So do not punish when you're angry, okay, because then it might turn into abuse. Don't use the fist. Don't slap. Don't, you know. The behind was put there not only to sit on, but to get their attention. Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. And the rod not only pictures physical punishment, it pictures authority of the parent. If you strike him with a rod, you will save his soul from Sheol, or the grave. In other words, and it has the idea of an eternal consequences here. If your child is not learning to submit in the home, it's just going to get worse as life goes along. Now, as we said, Ephesians 6:4 tells us not to provoke the children in wrath. Don't do it when you're angry or upset how they make you look. And this book that we're going to put in the thing, The Heart of Anger, how to deal with that. And this deals with more than just anger in children. It deals with manipulation. Well, of course, kids never do that, right? They never go to dad and dad says no and then go to mom, right? Never do that. Kids are excellent at manipulation from early on. And this book deals with it. It's a good book. I read through it. Once again, even if you take it home, it's not saying my kid's really angry and I got to really deal with them. It just has really good principles. He has worksheets and different things of ways to deal with your child and where they're at and help them biblically. Because as parents, what do we want them to really do? Not just obey us, but obey God and His Word. That's what we're really trying to get. And God has said children obey their parents. That's just one of many things that children need to be instilled with from the Word of God. So we need to be consistent. We need to be balanced. Balance means, and look at Proverbs 29 and verse 15. This really brings that idea out. It's not all discipline or all spanking or all just getting after them. Verse 15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. So we need to be consistent. Okay? If they do something wrong today and we punish it, then it needs to be punished tomorrow too. If it's not that big a deal today and you realize, okay, I just need to sit them down and talk to them, then tomorrow it should be the same way, unless they consistently keep breaking the same rule, keep doing the same wrong thing. Then at some point, it has to be more than sitting and talking, right? It has to be, look, I've explained to you what you need to do. You need to do it. And here's an important thing, and here's where I see parents fail so often. At least some do. And that is, they'll tell a child something, and if they don't obey right away, then they'll raise their voice, or they'll look at them and say, I just told you, you need to train the child just as God wants us to obey the first time. If I have their attention, make sure they're looking me in the eye, they're listening to me, they're not playing on their video game, or some, you know, their eyes are 50 miles away, and they're really not, listen, you set them down, you get them, and say, okay, here's the rule, or here's what I want you to do. And if they disobey, or if they had an attitude about it, then punishment is right away. And guess what? You're teaching them, you're training them to obey the first time instead of, no, when my voice gets to this decibel level, or when my face turns red, or when I finally threaten you with physical punishment, or whatever. And all of us parents have those tells of when we've had it, right? And the Bible idea is, no. Here's the instruction. You got it. You obey it now. Not when I get really mad or I yell at you several times. And you know what? After you start consistently doing that, they get it. It takes a while, though, because if you've been not doing that, then for a while they're kind of testing you. Okay, did she really mean it? Or does she need to say it a third time? Or does she need to yell, you know? And then when you find out, oh, they said it the first time and they really mean it, I better do it. Because when the police officer has you pulled over, he's not going to tell you 14 times, put your hands on the steering wheel, or, let me know if you have any weapons in the vehicle and where they are, if they're loaded or whatever, you know. He's going to give instructions, and you better follow it the first time. So the rod and reproof give wisdom. There's the physical discipline. There's also the instruction. And as we read through these, I hope you'll start understanding. All of us need the Spirit of God to give us wisdom because each of our children are unique. They're going to be different. They're going to respond differently. Some kids, it's kind of like our dog. I can just talk to my dog. You bad dog. And she's creeping and crawling and, you know, just as low as she can get. Oh, I'm in big trouble. Some kids, you can just look at them and say, I'm upset, and they start crying almost. And others, I'm like, so, right? Your kids are different. And you need to respond biblically, know what the biblical instructions are, but how does it fit this child? And it may be different, somewhat different from each child to some extent. But at the same time, be careful in the home when you have several children. If one senses the other's a favorite, or if one knows they're a favorite, they're going to play on that. Okay? So if this child gets punished for that, that child needs to get punished for it too. Not a, okay, you know, we'll let you go because I really like you. And turn over to chapter 13 and verse 24 now. Under this idea of corporal punishment, the biblical idea is we're actually showing love. Now the child says, nah, I don't think so. If you loved me, you wouldn't do this to me. You know, is what they're thinking. Proverbs 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Now think about it this way. If I love my child, I will put myself in awkward and difficult situations to discipline him. What if they're acting out in public? What's the temptation there, you know, just to kind of settle them down? And I understand with this, the attitude of people that spanking or anything like that's abusive, you know, you don't want to get turned into the authority, so you may have to wait till you get home or out to the car or somewhere where you're alone. We have to use wisdom in the society we live in this. Because there's some people, they see you spank a child, immediately they're going to be calling the Child Protective Services and this parent's abusing their child. And probably the person who's calling it in needs to learn how to discipline their children. But here it is. It's easier to let things go sometimes for us as parents. It's like, well, I just don't want to deal with it now. I'm busy. Or whatever. It's just, right now, I don't want to deal with it. It might make me look bad or whatever. Or the child's going to probably not like me for a while and blah, blah, blah. And what that is self-love. But if I love God and love others, I'm going to put myself out there where it may be difficult for me for a time. But the Bible's clear. If I'm sparing the rod, if I'm not doing discipline, as a parent, I'm really saying to the child, I really don't care about you. I'm just letting you raise yourself. Because remember, we read about it. A child left to himself, what? bring shame to his mother. How many parents look back and now they see their kids and they're in all kinds of trouble and everything's happened in their lives and they're saying, oh, I guess maybe I should have tried to correct them when they were younger. Oops. And many a parental heartache of today could have been spared if they yesterday had disciplined their children. And what's interesting is God, and we read this passage back in chapter 3. What does God say about his discipline, his chastening, his training of his children? The Lord reproves him who he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights. Chapter 3 and verse 12. So really, we're modeling what God does with us. And ultimately, we want our children turned over to what? The discipline and instruction of God himself. Another thing that's important, not only being consistent and balanced and showing love to our children in this area, even when it's not fun or pleasant. Ecclesiastes 8, so we're skipping out of Proverbs for just a minute. Right after Proverbs is Ecclesiastes. And this is a principle for all of life, but it fits children too. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 11 says, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily, the heart of the children of man is fully set to do evil. We see it in our criminal justice system. What happens? Somebody is charged with a crime. They can provide bail. They get out. Then they have their trial. And then maybe they're declared guilty. Then they're put in jail. But it can take a lot of appeals. The process can take years. And we know for those under capital punishment, they appeal every silly thing on the planet when everybody knows they did it, and they even maybe admitted they did it, and they go through the whole thing, maybe 10, 15 years before they're executed after they committed the crime. What's happening? They're not connecting in their mind, I did this, and this is a consequence. And especially for our really young children, if something happens and you punish them 30 minutes later, hour later, wait till your dad gets home type thing, in their mind, there's a little connection between the crime and the punishment. So we need to, as best we can, say, okay, I'm not going to wait till your father comes home. This is what's going to be your consequence right now. So timing is very important. Soon after the crime is the punishment to come. Why is it that we're to do this? Back to Proverbs chapter 22. And this is important to understand. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Bible says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. You have a little foolish pagan in your home. That's what this cute baby that you bring home is. Now, it's hard for us to connect that because, oh, isn't that cute? And everybody's, oh, that's sweet. Oh. But it doesn't take long for you to find out that that cute, sweet thing is also a monster. And we're all laughing, but we were all there as parents too. We did it to our parents. What does a little baby do? They cry, so the mom checks the diaper. No, it's not loaded. It's not wet. Just fed you. The baby's hungry. Is not hungry. And what does the baby learn early on? If I cry, big people show up. And if I just, I'm laying in my bed at night and I'm bored, and the big people show up. Right? The Bible reminds us, in Adam, all die. All have sinned in Adam. All of us are born into this world, not as wonderful, great human beings, but as sinners in rebellion to God, and therefore in rebellion to all the authority he puts over us, which includes our parents. And the parental responsibility is to drive that foolishness out of the child. And if you read Proverbs, it has a lot to say about a fool. It talks about the naive fool who is simple. They believe everything. Oh, it's on the internet. Must be true, right? And they don't care about consequences. I'll do this because I want to do this now. And whatever comes afterwards, so what? And then the fool develops into one who won't listen to anybody. To finally the one who the Bible describes as a scorner. They mock the truth. And the Bible's saying, if you don't nip it in the bud, it's going to go from naive to foolish to scorning. And you see many a teenager, what do? Their parents. Their parents turn their back and they're... I may not actually do that because they're afraid the parent will turn around, but that's the attitude of the heart. That was my last spanking that I remember. It was scorning my dad. And I'm thankful he was driving the foolishness out of me. because he told me to go do a job I hated. On our farm, we had these locust trees, and every time the wind really blew or a storm came through, there's branches everywhere. Go pick up the sticks. I really don't want to do this. So one time, he said that to me. I pictured in the ramp. He goes, starts going in the basement door. I think he's already gone. I'm walking up the ramp. You know, in other words, mocking my dad. Oh, you tell him to do this. And my dad, all he did was say, "What was that?" And I knew I was dead. I had been caught. He didn't care what I said. He knew what the attitude was. And it was, go get the razor strap. That was driving foolishness out. I needed it. So, and then look at chapter 20 and verse 30. The punishment is to be painful. And that doesn't mean abuse again, but it means it is to hurt. That's why younger children, spanking works. Older children, it's taking away privileges. Just ask the Lord to give you wisdom. How do I do this and make, the punishment commensurate to the crime? In other words, okay, they didn't clean up their room. You can't go out of the house for a year. It probably is a little severe, wouldn't you think, right? Okay. Having wisdom and knowing, okay, how much sends a message, this was not good idea, don't do that again, but not to the attitude of where, and Colossians warns us, as parents, we don't want to discourage our children, okay? We don't want to put them to the place where every time they see us, they're just, what did I do wrong now? What am I, and as parents, unfortunately, I failed in this with my son, especially some. It took me a while to learn. We watched some of our family videos and realized we were getting on him all the time. He wanted to jump in front of every picture. You know, I was like, Spencer, move. Your sister's got to be in here too. And one time I even made the statement, still remember this when it's on the video. If you had a brain, you'd be dangerous. It's a great way to discourage a child. It was just a funny saying. I thought it would sound funny. And then I realized, that was stupid, Richard. You shouldn't have said that. So we don't discourage our children. But chapter 20, verse 30 says, blows that wound cleanse away evil, strokes make clean the innermost parts. So punishment should have pain. Whether it be physical or restricting things where it hurts. Okay, that's the corporal part. What about training? Ephesians 6:4 says what? Parents are to do what?
Train the child the way they should go.
Okay, that's in Proverbs 22:6, and we'll be looking there in a minute. But Ephesians 6:4 tells the father not to provoke his child to wrath, but bringing up in the nurture and admonition or the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So a couple things there. One, who's in charge according to the Bible?
Yeah.
Parents. Children are told, verses 1 and 2, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then it goes on to quote the fourth commandment, honor your parents. Obey is while you're in the home or under their authority in the sense that they're providing food and shelter. And if you're in college, but you still come home in the summer and they're paying your college bill, that you still fit as being under their authority. Okay? But once you're out on your own, maybe you get married or you leave home, you're paying your own bills and everything, the Bible still says you honor your parents. And if you're smart, you'll listen to them and realize even the worst of parents wants the best for their children. And their advice is going to be to try to help you out. And so you should at least take what they say into consideration. Because many a parent can see their child is headed for harm and is trying to help them out. The child's responsibility, and kids, I know this sounds funny to you, but once you become adults, you'll appreciate this. Being in the home as a kid's pretty nice and easy.
Amen.
You don't have a lot of things you have to figure out. You just, mom and dad said so, I do it. I'm not responsible. I don't have to make all the decisions. You grow up and you start finding out, well, I got to make decisions. I got to figure out where to live and how to pay the bills and where to work and all this. And it's not a hard job. Obey. I mean, it's hard to do because of our sinful nature, but there's not a lot of commands there for you to figure out. Unless they tell you to do something that's unbiblical, you obey. You may not like it. It's just like as adults, we have laws. People that ride their motorcycles, a lot of them like they wind through their hair and this is wonderful and going down the highway. But there's certain states you get to and it says helmet law enforced. Got to put the helmet on. Well, I like that. Okay, you like it. But guess what? There's a reason the state puts it there, because when you have an accident, now the state may be paying your medical bills for the rest of your life if you survive. Okay? It may be a law you don't like, but the Bible doesn't say it's infringing on your rights as a Christian to wear a motorcycle helmet. No. Okay? And so, kids in the home, And understand this, there's a lot of rules your parents make that they can't give you chapter and verse, but they're for the functioning of the home, okay? You got to be home at 9 o'clock. Why? Kids are great at why, aren't they? Because tomorrow's a school day, okay? And I want you sleeping through class. There's not a chapter and verse on that, but there is the principle, children obey your parents of the Lord, okay? There's a reason they set that. It's not to just make your life miserable as much as you might think so. And as parents, we need to be preparing the children for life. Patty was just quoting it, Proverbs 22:6, one of the most famous verses in the Bible, and yet one that is hard to grasp exactly what's being said here. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. And some immediately see there, okay, if I train him in the Bible and take him to church, then they can never go astray. That's not really what this is saying. Actually, the word train is not the same word of training and discipline we see in a lot of Proverbs. It's a word that can be translated to initiate, and basically the idea of initiating them into adult life. In other words, it's like it pictures, you know, that ship is about to go out for the first time and they slam a bottle of wine up against it or whatever to send it out for its maiden voyage. Or, you know, the troops all line up and they're about to be deployed and they march in front of them. They're getting initiated. It's a picture of you're starting in on something. The Bible's saying, as a parent, I am initiating and trying to train my child in the talents and abilities and whatnot they have in the way that God wants them to go. By God's grace, when I do that, the end of the verse should hold true. Not always, unfortunately. But the idea is I'm initiating, I'm preparing them for life and for the fact that they're always going to be under authority of someone. As adults, we're under authority of our government. If you're the president, guess what? You're still under the authority of God. There's always somebody over you. And when you're fighting that, you're hurting yourself. We need to prepare our children for it. We also need to set good boundaries. Proverbs 15 and verse 5. It says, a fool despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. In chapter 20 and verse 20. If one curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. You're setting boundaries, teaching them. You know, people have the idea, freedom means I can do whatever I want. No, freedom, biblically and Christian-wise, I have the freedom to do what's right. In America, I have freedom to start my own business or do this or that, a lot of different things, but there are laws that govern that, aren't there? If I start my business and I hire people, I have to pay them a certain wage. I can't pay them $3 an hour. Pay them, what is it, $7.15, something like that. And so we all are still under authority and we need to train our children. Okay, here is biblical boundaries that are always wrong, or these things are always right to do, and these will always be enforced in the home. If your children show disrespect, that should be punished immediately. Okay? So not only their actions, but their attitude. And you may set up things a little differently. Our family, well, we had three things that were, okay, discipline comes right away. You lie to us, you're done. You disobey directly, you're done. You show a bad attitude, you're done. Our son got spanked for eating popcorn once. I said, what? My wife was popcorn, and she was getting it to string on the family room or schoolroom Christmas tree. And she told her son, don't eat this. This is all to go on that. And being a young man wanting to test the waters, and his sister, who usually got in more trouble than he did, delighted that she caught her brother in a direct disobedience and went straight to mother and said, guess what Spencer did? And Spencer got spanked for it. Was it a big, huge crime? No, but he was told directly, don't do this, and he did it. So the family rules are these. We told, okay, children, you understand. These are the three things that you do it. And there's not a question. Mom and Dad are going to sit back and debate and ask and think, what should you do? It happens. And your family may vary some on this. But parents, be sure that you're united, because that's part of the children's manipulation, is, okay, Dad's softer than Mom, or Mom's softer than Dad. So you go to the softy and ask the request. even though you know the other person is going to say no right away or already has said no. Mom and Dad, you need to have communication lines open so that you know what's going on and who the kid has made a request to and what's going on there. Okay? So disrespect, disobedience, lying, these kind of things, immediate discipline. You might have some family rules, and they vary from family to family, but you need to make sure that you consistently apply them. Then quickly, Ephesians 6:4 and Colossians 3:21 remind the parents to always show restraint. If we're not under control, how do we expect our children to be when we're disciplining or instructing? And yes, we do lose it sometime. And here's an important principle. When you do lose it, when you do make a mistake, be willing to go to your children and ask forgiveness and tell them you were wrong. Some people say, well, that's a sign of weakness. No, what it's a sign of is you're acting biblically. And you're training them by doing that. Okay, children, when you do wrong, that's the way you're supposed to act too. One of the things we did as a family, we had, you know, as the children were younger, a little devotion time where we'd read a little Bible story, but we also used it to be the time in the evening before we went to bed, or at least the kids did, that we settled problems. Okay, we'd say, Spencer, you said this to your sister today, or Rebecca, we noticed this, and you need to apologize to them. You need to ask their forgiveness, or you need to get this cleared. That's biblical, Matthew 18. You're supposed to go to the person you've hurt or the person has offended you and deal with it immediately. You're just training them in what the Bible says is how you live your adult life too. Okay? We need to be willing to apologize when we mess up and be willing to show that, yes, we don't always get it right. But that does not give the children an excuse not to obey any more than it gives us an excuse. Oh, the governor, the president, they did this or that, so we don't have to follow the rules. What are the results, quickly? If you have a wise son, what is going to be the result? Or a wise child? Chapter 10 and verse 1. A wise son makes a glad father. But notice, the foolish son, what? Is a sorrow to his mother. It doesn't mean it doesn't bother dad. It's just poetically using dad here and mom there. Verse 5. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. You want a wise child? I think we all say yes. But we go back and say it means consistent discipline. It means times when it's difficult for us. It means not primarily wanting to be my child's friend, but being the parent. When they grow up, they'll often become your very good friend. And be thankful for how you train them. But my main goal is not for this child to always like me. Now, Bible commands, we're to love one another. But there's times when they're not going to like being disciplined. They're not going to like having things taken away. They're not going to like the fact that other kids get to do this, but I don't. And you'll get that thrown in your face. Yes, parents, be ready for it. Just realize, all you have to say is, so, we're not other parents. This is your family. God put you in this family. And, you know, neither the parents chose the children or the children chose the parents. God put us together. That's what we just sang about. You're in this home for God's purpose. And God has said you're to submit to my authority. So now you either get your attitude straightened out or we have discipline coming. And that's one of the things this book really deals with is getting to the nitty-gritty of how do you deal with a child that's being manipulative, that's always blowing up or whatever. And how you use the Bible and consistently under restraint do what is wise. And there's a proverb, and I didn't write down the reference, but it shows how we're to respond in this. It says, Proverbs, I think it's 23, 5 and 6, but it may be another chapter. It says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. But the verse before says, don't answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. And then the next one is, answer a fool according to his folly, basically to show him wisdom. So the idea is, I don't get down in the mud pit and mud wrestle with the kid when they're having an attitude. In other words, they get an attitude and they start mouthing off. I don't mouth off back at them. I'm the adult here. I'm the one that's supposed to show control. But at the same time, I am to show them how foolish their words are or their thinking is or their attitude so that they don't continue in it. A lot of people read that and say, that looks like a contradiction strip. No, it's saying, don't be like the fool, but show the fool they're being a fool. Now, it doesn't say, mean parents, as soon as you see the children being foolish, say, you're a fool. But you show them from Scripture why they're straying and how they're hurting themselves and others. Chapter 29 and verse 17 of Proverbs. And this is what parents are looking forward to. Discipline your son and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart. It may take time. It's not going to come right away. But as they grow up and they learn to discipline themselves, to be under God's control and have self-control, one of the fruits of the Spirit, it'll be a whole lot pleasanter in the home. And when they go out, there's many a parent today that are still paying for and taking care of their kids, and because of all the poor decisions they're making and all that's happening, they're getting themselves into financial trouble and law trouble or whatever. And Bible saying here, discipline them while they're there in the home. That means training. That means physical punishment at times. It means the combination of all these things. And the end result will be not only peace in your home while they're there, but peace in your life. And not looking back and thinking, oh dear, how much longer am I going to have to bail them out of this or take care of that or do whatever. And understand as parents, sometimes you got to let them live with their decisions. Why is it that kids keep getting into trouble? Because mom and dad always bail them out. There needs to be consequences. And sometimes it's, okay, you made the mistake. You have to fix it now. You have to work it out. And then Hebrews 12:11, and we'll close here. And again, this is just to whet your appetite. I hope if you didn't write these references down, this will be on the website, Lord willing, in the morning. And you can listen to it again, get the references written down, and use those as cross-references to multitudes of other passages that emphasize similar things and add to it. Hebrews 12, verse 11. This is talking about God's discipline of us, but it applies to all discipline in life. It says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Okay, when you're confronting the child, it can get ugly sometimes. They can get really ugly. They can say things just to try to throw you off. I hate you. Do they really mean that? Maybe. Probably not. But they want to see how you respond. Maybe you're going to shrink back and, oh, they hate me. I better not do this. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. God is training us through his disciplinary techniques to grow and mature as Christians. As parents, that's our job in the home as well. And it means short term, it can be tough. But remember, discipline them because there's hope. Short term pain, but long term gain. That's what the Bible keeps bringing us back to. We get so focused on the right now and we lose sight of the future. That's why the Bible keeps talking about the Lord's return in heaven. I live my life as a Christian with those things in view. And the same in my disciplining as a parent in the home. It's not, how are they going to respond right now? It's, what am I teaching, knowing that down the road this will pay dividends? It may be tough right now. They may go slam their door and put themselves in their room. And again, there's biblical ways of dealing with all of that. And we don't have the time to get into all those details. But let me just share with you, if you have further questions, talk to my wife and myself. We don't know it all, but we can hopefully point you to some scriptures that may help you in some areas you're in. Also, take this book home, read it. There's other good books out there. You can Google Christian books on child discipline. I have a few in the office I'll put out on the book rack in the lobby. And folks, everything there is for you to take home and use and bring back. And I don't mention it all the time, but this will go on that, and there'll be a few other books we'll set right beside it that just give a lot more references and Bible ideas to what we've just touched on this morning. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, a lot packed in here, Lord, and I just pray as parents absorb this, for some of them it's a confirmation of what they've been doing, and thank you, Lord, for that, and pray that they would continue. For some it may be a shockwave. It's like, oh wow, I've never been doing this. For some of us, it may just be, well, there's some things here that I haven't been doing, I need to start doing. Some things I have been doing, I need to quit. Lord, whatever the case, help us, Lord, to confess to you where we have failed as parents. But not live in that past, but move forward with our children and begin to do these things consistently so that, Lord, not only will we have peace in our home, but most importantly, we'll raise our children to love you and serve you and to walk with you. That's the ultimate goal. Not that we just have, we get along in the home and we get by, but that we raise children who will be children of God and serve Him faithfully. And we pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.